But now on 7, we've part one of Wally K. Daly's disturbingly believable sci-fi drama, 625Y. It's a what-if story about the discovery of a gene that can extend a person's life. And a quick word of warning for younger ears, the opening scenes are pretty graphic.
Y by Wally K. Daly, with Amanda Root as Kate and Jeffrey Whitehead as Slingsby.
I've been working on this story for 6 months now. In my wildest dreams, I never thought it would end like this. People being shot at by soldiers in Parliament Square. If it is the end, that is. Reports are coming in that large and angry crowds have gathered outside the parliaments of other European cities. And in America, over 1 million people are marching towards the White House, where they intend to confront the president with their demands. From the government's point of view, the problem is that the demands of the people are all too easy to meet. A program could be put in place within days. But meeting the people's wishes would bring economic disaster to the whole world and spell the end of the cycle of life of the human race forever. The whole business started in Cambridge, England, at the offices of UK Futures, a small scientific laboratory, part of the Genome Project.
How could you keep this from me? How could you? You know our future is dependent on producing good results. This one would be extraordinary.
I just wanted to make sure I was right, that's all. I didn't want to go off half-cocked.
Half-cocked? I've seen your data on cell deterioration and the state of the mice you used in your experiments. Kate, this is a potential gold mine.
Yes.
The company's worries will be over.
But if there are side effects to the treatment...
Somebody else can find them. That's not our problem. At the moment, our problem is to get this knowledge generating income.
Joe told you, didn't he?
No, he didn't.
I told him in confidence.
It didn't come from Joe. Kate, tell me, what did you do in your experiments to produce these results?
I was mapping a group of genes primarily active in the area of the pituitary gland, one being gene 625Y.
Using mice?
Yes. Well, with one of them, I'd accidentally switched off this gene. I intended to go back at the end of the day and re-switch it so it wouldn't throw up any false results in the tests. I forgot. I never got round to it.
And?
I realised a few weeks later that that mouse was not getting any older. Tissue samples confirmed it. I decided it could have been a fluke, so I tried it on another batch. This time, half having 625Y switched off, the rest left with it switched on. You've seen the results.
No sign of aging whatsoever.
And no tissue degeneration either.
How difficult is it switching off the gene?
Straightforward. Minor procedure. Take a blood sample, treat it, re-inject it, the body takes care of the rest.
And it should work equally well on humans?
Looks that way. I've got live tissue and plasma samples from a female volunteer.
You?
Yes.
And?
No aging deterioration apparent in the tissue or plasma, animal or human, over a six-month period.
So, what should have died or been replenished in a day or two is now the human equivalent of hundreds of years old.
Yes.
This is gigantic. I'd better talk to the Health Ministry about it today. Get their views. It could have immense ramifications.
I know. It's wonderful, isn't it? We're all going to be famous.
Yes!
Kate's fiancé was a fellow laboratory worker, Joe Bernard, a marine biologist. He was a pleasant enough fellow, but had a major character flaw. He was a gambler. A gambler who never knew when to stop.
Look, I've heard what you're saying. I'll get the money to you as soon as possible. I had a run of bad luck, that's all. 25,000? That's ridiculous. It was less than 20,000 only 2 weeks ago. Oh, you can't charge that amount of interest. That's usury.
Joe?
Oh, look, somebody's here. I've got to go. Yeah, I'll be in touch. You'll get your money.
What's wrong?
Nothing. Old friend from town called.
You were laying a bet.
No, I wasn't. Don't look like that, Kate. I haven't been gambling.
You promised.
And I'm keeping my promise. Let's start again, shall we? Hi.
Hi.
How come a social call in the middle of a busy working day?
Why did you tell Slingsby about the result of my tests?
Well, I told him nothing. You said in confidence, and the confidence was kept.
Well, he knows, and you're the only one I've told.
Oh, at your age, Kate. Do you think the rest of the team don't have eyes? They walk past your cages every day. They see the change. They now see white mice as wizened as Methuselah and white mice from the same batch behaving like little Rambos.
Such exaggerated, though.
Kate, everybody here knows that there is genetic engineering of an amazing high order going on in your section. And they don't yet know what I know about the everlasting tissue and plasma samples.
I just thought...
Don't. I'm the person you're going to marry, right?
That's what you tell me.
So, if you can't trust the person you're going to marry, who can you trust?
I'll let you know when I find the answer. I'll see you this evening.
No, I'm going to have to cancel. I've got to go up to town tonight. The friend who called, it a bit of business.
No casino popping, okay?
You have my word. Gambling and me are finished.
I'll keep you to that.
The gambling's finished, but the debt goes on and on.
Well, thank you for giving me your time so freely, Minister. And yes, I will have a briefing paper with you tomorrow. Of course. Well, I look forward to hearing what the Cabinet and the Prime Minister have to say. Yes, I do appreciate the delicate nature of the information that I'm giving you and will insist that my team keep it to themselves as well. Very good, Minister.
This 625Y, if Professor Slingsby is to be believed, and I have no reason to doubt his scholarship, contains the instruction to any given creature, either human or animal, to age and die. It is nothing less than the death gene. Switching it off prevents that instruction being given. The creature in question, human or animal, cannot then die of natural causes. Experiments with skin tissue and blood plasma confirm these findings. Excluding fatal accidents, we are looking at the discovery of eternal life.
If what this Professor Slingsby says is true, it is nothing short of a disaster. Insurance, pension and funeral industries will go to the wall for a start. And Lord knows how it'll affect the health service.
Must be a disaster.
We must stop them going public with this. It must never see the light of day. The laboratory must be declared a major health hazard and put under martial law. Minister of Defence, can I have your thoughts?
Well, Prime Minister, how about a suggestion that some awful doomsday bug is being manufactured at this laboratory?
I think the information on 625Y must be suppressed under the Official Secrets Act forthwith.
I wholeheartedly agree. Put it in hand.
There is one thing you must bear in mind, Prime Minister, before taking your suggested course of action.
Yes?
Well, this company, UK Futures, is one of many my ministry keeps a close eye on. We found the bulk of their non-government funding comes from an American chemical and pharmaceutical investment giant called CultureCo.
I can't see a problem with that.
Well, CultureCo, according to our friends in the United States, is an organisation that is, I suspect, substantially criminally funded.
How substantially?
Get a headache tomorrow, Prime Minister. Take a tablet. And chances are you are increasing mafia profits worldwide.
All the more reason to stop them in their tracks now.
Yes. If we can, that is.
The mafia connection with the firm didn't become public knowledge until recently. The government funding for UK Futures wasn't enough to cover the research being undertaken there, let alone Professor Slingsby's extravagant lifestyle. He felt a large income, a large house, and a large car were the basic requisites of a good professorial life. So extra funding was always needed, and always very welcome.
I was, of course, delighted to receive your letter, Mr. Flowers, and to discover that your company, Cultura Co., is perhaps interested in investing in our research.
Perhaps is a word to keep an eye on, Professor. We're not there yet. Slowly, slowly is our company motto.
And the company?
Cultura Co. is set to be the largest pharmaceutical and chemical investment company in the USA.
Really?
Well, we intend within the next 5 years to be the largest company in Europe as well.
Oh, well, that's very...
My brief is to get the show on the road in the shortest possible time. We think we might like you and your company to be part of our growth.
And your manufacturing arm?
We don't have a manufacturing arm. We don't manufacture.
Ah.
We simply invest and take a percentage of the profit on successful projects. And, of course, bite the bullet on the ones that don't come to fruit. We're never happy if there are too many of those.
Still, common sense dictates that most research will not bear fruit, so I presume a fairly high return would be required on the money spinners.
Sure, but that's no sweat. If the returns are high enough, there should be enough to keep everyone happy. But that's really not my territory, Professor. I leave that to the lawyers. I just slog around Oxford, Cambridge, and your other wonderful university cities, looking for the opportunity to give millions of our company's money away.
A pleasant enough occupation.
Sure is. One other thing. We'd like you to be a special advisor on the project if it gets the go-ahead, independent of your work here. A freelance. Paid a bunch of bucks for smoothing the way. That'd be okay?
Yes. I'm sure something could be arranged.
Good. So, how about the conducted tour you offered?
Of course. And then we'll join my wife for lunch.
Yeah. Hey, Jacko.
Who is it?
Danny Flowers, Cultura Co. Just been visiting a small research company in Cambridge, UK Futures. Yeah, we may be going in there in a small way, but first I want everybody checked out. Yeah, you got it. From the M.D. Slingsby. Slingsby to the T-boy. Oh, we need a contact name there. Somebody be my eyes and ears. Preferably with a handle on them. Today, if possible. Tomorrow at the latest. Yeah, usual fee. Good. I'll look forward to hearing from you.
Come.
Major Peters, Minister.
Michael, how good to see you. Been much too long.
Certainly has, Minister.
Charles.
Duty takes us in very different directions these days.
Well, not today, Michael. Not today. Come, take a seat.
Thank you.
Anyone can call me Charles in private, it's you.
Very good. Charles it is.
Usual?
Please.
Michael, the Prime Minister has given me an enormously difficult and politically sensitive task to organise on behalf of His Majesty's government.
You know that the team and I are the soul of discretion.
The team is still together?
Currently, yes.
Good. That's what I'd hoped I'd hear you say. Is Johnson still with you?
Yes. And Smithy? Is it as serious as that?
I'm afraid so.
Thank you.
We need to close down a mafia-funded laboratory that is patently peddling one of the most dangerous substances known to man.
Guaranteeing death in its wake?
Worse. Guaranteeing life.
Life?
Life eternal. We may have to provide a death or two to balance the books.
Wasn't that always the way of it, Minister?
Yes. Unfortunately, it was, Major.
So, where's our posting?
Cambridge. A small laboratory called UK Futures. You are to close it down immediately.
Cover story?
The discovery of a germ warfare manufacturing facility there.
Mm.
The necessary evidence will be provided.
Any requirement for terminal dispatch?
Definitely one. Perhaps two.
Mm.
Use your own judgment.
You can't do this. You have no right.
I have every right. Here are my orders. You're a health hazard, Professor. We're going to have to cordon you off from the outside world until you're not.
And when will that be?
Who knows? Medical types will be down this evening. They're going to have to clear your stock. Get rid of all the animals. Go through the place with a fine tooth comb.
Looking for what?
Usual materials. Nasty chemicals, all packaged and ready to be delivered to inappropriate people in inappropriate places.
It's preposterous, Major. We are a research unit. There's nothing dangerous here. There's mice, and rats, rabbits, and pigs, and that's an end to it.
Let's never forget who got the Black Death underway, Professor. The rats.
Jacko, what are you telling me? A gambler doesn't gamble anymore? What sort of hold is that on a mark? Oh, I see. So how much does he owe? Accumulating interest? Now that is not friendly. Okay, you give me a call the next time this Joe Bernard guy comes in, and I'll pay the club a visit.
What's it all about, Professor?
We're now prisoners in our own research institute.
What?
The government have seen fit to put a place of safety order on UK Futures. They appear to believe we're a potential health hazard and a danger to the state.
Oh, that is truly ridiculous.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, but I've seen the notice issued by the Ministry of Defence, and the soldiers outside are real enough. They're cordoning us off from the outside world.
Do we get to go home at the end of the day?
No.
Wow.
Members of staff already sleeping on site will continue to use their own rooms. Additional accommodation for staff who normally live in town will, I'm told, be delivered this afternoon.
This is because of my research into 625Y, isn't it?
No, we can't be sure of that.
What other reason could there be?
Well, it does appear the phone call to Whitehall and the briefing paper I sent to the minister has rather set the alarm bell ringing.
Obviously. Listen, everybody. You all know by now what I've been working on for the last few months. I treated myself over 3 months ago, and there have been no side effects whatever. Tests prove my cells have stopped aging. I won't be getting any older than I am now, ever. It would take just a few minutes to treat anyone who wanted treating before they close us down. And before I leave.
I told you, Kate, nobody is allowed to leave. A total cordon sanitaire.
I am leaving. And I'm going to let the whole world know what's going on here. The people must decide for themselves whether they have this thing or not the government. So, who wants treating before I go? You too, Joe.
Not for me. Life's a little too precious just at the moment for taking that sort of risk. I have a future wife and kids to think of, remember?
Well, when you're old and grey, don't come running to me looking for sympathy.
How many took up your offer?
More than half. Mainly the younger ones, surprisingly enough. How about you, Professor? Wouldn't take more than a few minutes.
No. I'll plod on quietly, getting older by the day. See how I feel after you guinea pigs have tried it for a few years.
Fine. I'm leaving the site now.
You know you're putting our funding at risk by running off like this. Making it look as though we do have something to hide. I think I deserve better.
I'm sorry. It's just something I've got to do.
How do you hope to get past the troops?
Joe's going to drive me to the off-site farm on his motorcycle. We're hoping to see a gap in their defences along the way and make a break for it.
You think they'll let you head for the farm?
Well, Joe's already organised it. Said we have to close the unit down, all the animals will suffer.
We have no animals there.
Well, they don't know that. Anyway, a parting gift for you.
No. Two white mice.
One old, one young, same batch. I'm taking the earliest test mice out with me. Might help provide proof of what I've been getting up to here. Thought you might like the second oldest pair as a souvenir.
Thanks. Just what I've always wanted.
The old boy's probably good for another year, and Junior, who's the same age as Grandad, but an infinitely better Nick, will probably see you out, Professor.
Thanks for the thought, Kate. I'll try to do the same for you one day.
Think nothing of it.
What do you intend to do if you do get through?
We'll get the story to the press, if possible. Let the world know what's going on here.
There's bound to be a news blackout.
We'll see.
Good, but they're still keeping a very beady eye on us.
When do we make our move?
In about 15 seconds. See the gap in the cliff to the left?
Yes.
There's a 5-meter drop on the other side. They won't be expecting us to go that way. Too dangerous.
How dangerous is it?
You just hang on tight. Don't let go of the box.
Okay. I don't believe it. They're shooting at us.
Billy there.
People still moving about in there, so you should find someone to help.
You're coming in with me?
No, I've got to go up to town again. I have a bit of business to attend to while I can. We are both going to be nicked for this, you know.
We'll end up in jail.
Something like that.
Where are we going to meet? The flat's out of the question.
Go straight to Jane's place.
What, Horton Street?
Number 4. Jane's locked in the lab. She's not going to need it.
How do I get in?
Keys on top of the door frame.
How do you know?
I told her we were making a dash for it. She said if we needed a bolt hole, we could use that.
Right.
Now, get inside and find yourself a local reporter in need of a great national story. See you later.
I first met Kate Brown when she came into the newspaper office looking lost late one evening. It was just before the germ warfare story broke. The editor put us together thinking we might be soul sisters or something, and as it turned out, he was right. I took Kate straight to a local bar to get her a large brandy to calm her nerves. She was shaking so much with attention or the terror of her escape from the laboratory. Finally, I got to hear the whole story.
Then troops arrived first thing this morning, surrounded the place. Wouldn't let anyone leave.
You were out.
I escaped with Joe on the back of his motorbike. They shot at us.
And where's Joe now?
He had to go to town. I'm seeing him later.
Will he confirm what you're saying?
Yes. Look!
What?
I don't believe it. That's me.
Jack?
Mm-hmm.
Would you turn the television up?
Yeah.
Thanks.
Biological weapon.
What?
The chemicals found are believed to be both highly volatile and unstable. The army are enforcing a 1-mile exclusion zone around the site. Police and soldiers are searching for 2 young scientists, Kate Brown and Joe Bernard, who are believed to be armed and dangerous. As they broke through the army cordon on a motorcycle this afternoon, shots were exchanged.
Members
of the public are advised not to approach the couple, but to report their presence to the police. In the House of Commons,
thanks, Jack.
The Prime Minister was asked...
You believe me?
Well, I can certainly see the troops are there, and that confirms you're telling the truth about that bit. But are you really armed?
No. We didn't shoot at them. They shot at us.
But why? It just doesn't
make... Let me show you. What do you see?
A couple of white mice.
Mm-hmm.
An old one, looking as if he's on his last legs, and a baby one looking frisky.
They're the same age. They're no different, except the young one was treated and the old one wasn't.
And this treatment would have the same effect on humans.
I believe I stay the age I am now for the rest of my life. And the rest of my life, if the mice are anything to go by, could be quite a while.
What do you mean I can't get through? I want to talk to Professor Slingsby now. My company don't invest in germ stuff. We have a good name to think of. You don't know these people. I am in serious trouble here. I am not shouting. I am asking to be put through to Professor Slingsby immediately. What do you mean you're putting the phone... Do you know who you're talking to? You are talking to... Danny Flowers. They're going to tear my legs off and club me to death with them.
Well, did you get through to anyone?
I got through to everyone.
And?
And there's an end to it. Your story's dead on the hook, spiked before being submitted.
I don't understand.
Well, they've got today's lead story already. A laboratory making lethal, illegal weapons for a foreign power. And all you've got is two white mice.
But two white mice and me? I mean, I'm the one they're looking for, remember?
Yeah, I kept quiet about that. You want trigger-happy soldiers knowing where you are? Let's find out what's going on before feeding you to the sharks.
I could prove it so easily if we were at the laboratory.
Not by now, you couldn't. If what you say is true, all the animal stock will have been taken away... and probably something nasty put there to replace it.
Danny Flowers. Yes, when? Oh, that is great news. Your timing couldn't be better. Remind me of his name. Joe Bernard. Good. Here, tell him to hold him at the casino till I get there. He must not be allowed out of the place. Now, how much does he owe? $25,000. You tell him the family might want to buy the marker for 30G. No, I don't want him damaged. Just tell him to hold him till I get there. Which club? Cranford's. Great. I'll be with him in under an hour.
All the explosive in place, Johnson?
Yes, sir. Every building here plus the offside farm wired up and ready to go.
Good.
Laboratory stuff? Last coach just leaving now, sir. Smithy's got his eye on him.
Good.
What happens to him, sir?
They're to be held as an army camp for interrogation. See who's responsible for this little lot. Okay, Johnson. Let's have the switch.
Sir?
And here goes the evidence.
Flames in the distance say it all.
The laboratory's gone.
And any evidence that you were telling the truth will have gone with it.
In 625Y by Wally K. Daly, Amanda Root was Kate and Jeffrey Whitehead Slingsby. Joe was John Strickland. The reporter, Elizabeth Conboy. The Prime Minister, Chris Transhaw. The Minister of Defence, Ian Masters, and Major Peters, Brett Usher. Danny was Stuart Milligan, the laboratory technician, Harry Myers, and the Minister of Health, Sandra Clark. Other parts were played by members of the cast. Six 625Y was directed by Gordon House.